Are you ready for the Low Blows Network? It's the show where you control what's on the agenda. Ask us anything and we're both bound to answer. Starring Rick Nash, Corporate King, and the Queen of Irish Wrestling, Katie Harvey. It's Ask Low Blows.
Huge news. Guys, as we get kicked off here on another edition of Ask Low Blows, I can exclusively reveal that after weeks of trying, after maybe hundreds of failed plans, after arguments, after getting on the same page, after angry voice messages from Justy in the group every single Friday afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, we've escaped the island. Right here on Ask Low Blows, find out what's next in our adventure. What is post-island life like for the Low Blows team? Guys, you're very welcome to another edition of Ask Low Blows. Rick Nash, Katie Harvey, and Dom Tuck here. So much still to come. We're also going to be giving our worst WrestleMania card coming up before the end of the show. But to get us kicked off here, Katie, you've had a bit of a rough week, I understand, when it comes to The Walking Dead.
Oh yes. So yeah, I've just started season 10. I always ask this. I can give spoilers because it's like years old now.
You're good. Yeah, I think you're all right. If people cared, they'd watch it. But like, maybe you can just kind of refer to things without saying specifically, like, and then this character did this. So you can just make references so that if people do decide to binge it, they'll have forgotten about it.
So if I reference the spikes, everyone knows that I'm talking about the end of season 9.
But you don't have to get like, well, and then this person, and then this person, you know what I mean? Like, you can do it that way.
the spikes were rough. like we were talking in the chat, like that was a proper like what the fuck moment, I think, for absolutely everybody. It was so well done, the slow reveal, you know, just a couple of characters I loved gone. It's just, the thing about The Walking Dead is, because I've binged it in a few weeks, pretty much, like I haven't had time to adjust to it the way people who watch it weekly do. Yeah. And like, it's crazy to me when I think back on season 1 and it's an entirely new cast. The landscape has changed completely. It's just, it's such an evolving show. And it, like the first 2 seasons, I was not sold on it at all. I was like, this is all right. Like, it passes the time. Now it consumes like my every thought. You know what I mean? I go running 2 or 3 times a week, and literally all I'm thinking about is The Walking Dead. I'm running, like, me and Phil can't go for a walk without me being like, so like, what do you think of here as a camp? You know what I mean? It's just, it's taken everything from me. But where I'm at right now is like, the way it just does like character arcs, it's like, and people turn, it's like wrestling for people turn and heel and face. Like, I'm obsessed with King Ezekiel. Obsessed. Like, I love him.
He is. Yeah.
Like, I cannot handle how good he is and how much I shit on him 3 weeks ago, you know.
In the very recent, I know you're like, your emotions are changing on an hourly basis, but like, that was very recent, you shit on him.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, no, it was a rough week. We've started season 10, we're coming to the home stretch. I'm trying to get it all watched before February 28th.
So close.
It is getting close. We're going to try rationing it now to 2 episodes a night, just to kind of like bring us right up to the 28th.
That, like, no, that'll be next Wednesday. Like, no, there's like, not a lot left.
I'm going to try stop watching it every night. Like, I can't do any more 5 a.m. binges where I've watched 7 episodes in a row. And, you know, it's too much. Like, it's too much.
Like, look, if you need to feed it, there is Fear the Walking Dead and then, like, the few other spin-offs they've had. So, like,
I think.
Yeah, Beyond, the World Beyond, exactly. That's the new one on Amazon. So, and like, there's stuff you can get into it that way. There is still Walking Dead for you, but it's separate content. Fear the Walking Dead has people from this show in it, though. Not right away, but as time goes on, there are people who show up in Fear the Walking Dead. So, there's a bit of carryover there for if you're absolutely stuck. But I could never get into it. I think I watched the first season of it. I'm like, this isn't for me.
I think one of my favorite characters hops into it.
Yeah. I can tell you if you want.
Can I? So it's not a spoiler if I say, like,
No, it's not a huge spoiler. Who are you talking about?
Dwight's one of my favorite characters.
I don't actually know. He might. That sounds like something that happens.
I just feel like he's like he just the way like he kind of left. You know, there's more there.
Yeah, like when you see someone leave, like, you know, Rick is getting like, and you probably won't watch these, but he's getting like spin-off films.
Oh no, I probably will watch it. I'll probably hook it to my veins.
You would have said that like a week ago.
I know, like, this is what I mean. I've spent 8.5 seasons despising Rick Grimes and questioning every decision he's ever made, you know.
So like, in a weird way, it's a toxic relationship, but you still have a relationship with him, like.
Yeah, I know, it's awful and I hate it. Like, I hate it.
amazing good stuff. I'm looking forward to, you know, at this rate, like, how addicted you're getting, we'll have to do what we did with Game of Thrones and just take the main show off the air and just make it a Walking Dead show when it comes back.
Can we?
We might squeeze a bit of it into our slow blow. So guys, get caught up if you haven't already. Guys, as always, this is a show that you control what's on the agenda. Ask us anything. We will answer, as Kento CCFC has done. And guys, in amazing news, Kento says, well done. You've been rescued from the dreaded desert island full of bears. Yes! Yes, thank you. Though. Woohoo! What?
I wasn't on the island. I've never done any of these.
Oh. No. Good maybe news on the one for you, Dom, is. Because it's not over yet. Bad news. The helicopter that was bringing you to safety had to make an emergency landing on a Siberian mountain, and the helicopter has now slid off of a ravine after high winds. You're now stranded. So now we're stranded on a Siberian mountain. It's cold, and that's something that we have to take into account.
And will end.
Yeah, that's it. So what would you prefer to have some with you? A can of IPA or some port? Katie, what's there with you?
So, okay. I accept that we don't have the bears to contend with.
Bears are gone.
What we need to figure out is what we're going to do about the tigers.
Oh, no! King Ezekiel's tiger.
Dom, it's too soon.
What if they're friendly tigers? We don't know. There could be friendly tigers here.
We need
to get Phil's impression, by the way, to Walking Dead.
Yes.
You want it right now?
We need it on the record. Phil's impression of Alpha.
You've been requested to do a Rick Grimes cameo. Oh shit. I better give him the microphone.
Phil Grimes.
Wrong side.
Can't tell me what side to do. This world, the rules don't exist anymore. Do you think this is funny? Do you think all these people dying is funny? We got walkers on our walls. We got saviors at our gates. And you're sitting here laughing at me? No. No, that ain't gonna fly. Not in this new world.
Don, I don't know how to finish. You put me on the spot.
Carl.
You put me on the spot like
we don't
have
kill the living.
Yeah, you got a full promo. Like, I don't know what else to say.
That is so good.
It was very impressive. Carl, we just need a Carl.
Don't worry, he's practicing. He'll have another speech for next week.
Amazing. John in the chat says, maybe the tigers are cool cats and kittens. I think we should go with friendly tigers that we befriend.
Friendly tigers?
Yeah, like instead of like, you don't want to fuck with tigers. Do you know what I mean? Like you don't fuck with them. They could turn on us any second. They're still tigers. Do you know what I mean?
I suppose, yeah. King Ezekiel's tiger was fairly sound.
Yeah. So we'll go with, like, King Ezekiel's tiger is there and he's found a herd of his own. And they're like, no, they're sound. Leave them, lads. For now.
Okay, so what me and my pet tiger would pick.
Okay.
I would pick some port because, as you mentioned, it's cold. Port will keep you warm if you drink it. But also, it's the kind of alcohol that if you get cuts or you get injuries, whatever, you can use it to cauterize a wound. So it has uses. Also, IPAs are rotten.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a big IPA fan. I'd agree for everything you've said. Like, again, it's coldness versus warmth, and we're in a situation like, if we're in the desert island, I want the IPA. I want a nice, cool IPA. But no, it's port, and yeah, we can use it for cuts and whatnot. So everything valid you said, Dom.
Yeah, I don't drink, so I'm going to copy Katie Harvey's homework and say port.
It's sometimes it's safe, other times like she just goes off the rails, so you don't want to be doing that for everyone. Wayne Rooney or Robbie Keane, thoughts? Dom, have you any preference between the two?
Not really.
I get the sense you're not a huge football fan.
Not at all, no. Like, I know those two, they're probably the only, like, I know about five or six footballers, and they'd be two of them, to be fair.
Okay. Have you any preference whatsoever?
I'll say Robbie Keane because he's Irish.
Okay. Just get the good, is that fair? The Tyler Kraken banter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Katie?
Yeah. Like, to quote Anchorman, Robbie Keane seems like he's polite and rarely late. So he'd probably be a good person to have on the island. Whereas Wayne Rooney just doesn't come across, he comes across as someone who might need to be looked after a little bit coddled.
Yeah,
you know, I can't see him getting up and being able to like start a fire and you know, like gather the food and like look after the tiger. So I think Robbie Keane will pull his weight, so I'm gonna go for him.
It's tough because like, yeah, like I'd rather hang out with Robbie Keane of the two, do you know what I mean? Because if I'm stuck and stranded with Wayne Rooney, like there's gonna be like a certain time where, like, again, you're right in what you say, like he definitely has mommy issues. You know what I mean? Like he definitely needs a mommy, like, and like that'd be kind of the problem, and that'd be my fear. That like he's just gonna turn around and be like, oh, do you reckon we'll find any grannies around here? It's like, Wayne, I don't need to know like about whatever you're into. Like, I don't want it. And not even if he doesn't say that, even if he's a perfectly polite gentleman, I'll be anxious that he's gonna start talking about it. I'm like, I don't want to talk about what you're into. Like, that's your business. Like, that's
Tom is definitely too young to remember that story.
Wayne Rooney cheated on his wife, but then it came out there was essentially with a granny. It was really a prostitute, but a very elderly prostitute. And like, Collie Rooney is a very beautiful woman. Like, she's a proper like wag type, and you know, really glamorous, but also sound. And they were childhood sweethearts. And it's just like, that's just weird, Wayne. That's just weird. Wow. It was very strange. It was, one of the things where we just didn't need to know it about him. So for that reason, but also here's the flip side, okay? I would feed Wayne Rooney to a tiger if need be. You know what I mean? I feel bad. And I reckon Robbie Keane would take me. He's from Tala. He might have a knife somewhere. Like, he sounds, like, don't get me wrong, but, like, again, it's just, like, he's from Tala. He might have a fucking knife. Like, that's just what I'm saying. And he might stab. But then again, his knife could also come into play for me. Do you know what I mean? If we're getting attacked, it's like, where'd you take that from? And he's like, oh, just always keep one because I'm from Tala. And then I'm like, oh, fair enough. That's grand. Thanks for saving my life, Robbie Keane. So on balance, I'm probably going to go with Robbie Keane, but I could find some uses for Wayne Rooney if it means feeding him to anyone. Has Robbie Keane ever featured on an episode of Raw? That's also true.
Has he ever punched Wade Barrett?
This is it. So that's,
wait,
also,
did that happen?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
I do not remember him punching Wade Barrett.
Yeah. When they were in Manchester. Yeah. James Reloy, Jimmy says it's been Robbie Keane's childhood dream to be on a Siberian mountain. Sorry, Jimmy, I'm the only one who gets that. Robbie Keane, whatever club he went to, he always would say in the interview that it was his dream to always play for the club, to the point it became a massive meme. I appreciate that, Jimmy. Earmuffs or gloves?
I think gloves are more practical because if it's iced over and cold, you're going to be touching things, you might have to climb. And then gloves would be more practical to keep your hands safe, your extremities, so they don't get frostbite and fall off. Whereas like with your earmuffs, I think it would be easier to like fashion a scarf, or if you had a scarf, wrap it around your head or something.
Dom, your thoughts?
Yeah, what Katie said.
I am the survival expert of the group, so if you follow my lead, it'll be okay.
10 seasons of The Walking Dead.
you're also like you know, like a mammy of sorts to the Fight Factory crew. So Dom's like, I'm gonna go, Katie. Like, you regularly entrust Katie with your life anyway, as it is. So that's fair enough. I appreciate that. This is tough because I don't know, like, is there not a thing where you lose more heat from your head and your feet than your hands?
But they must just cover your ears.
Yeah, so but they
still be losing heat from your head.
Where else is the heat is the cold gonna come in from?
What?
Where else is the cold? Where do you think the cold comes in from?
It doesn't go in your ears.
Why do you think earmuffs exist? Why do eye muffs not exist? Why do mouth muffs not exist?
But all these things do exist.
Mouth muffs?
Yeah.
What's a mouth muff?
A mask or a snood or like. They like people always tie bandanas over their mouths and stuff.
No, masks like are no, it's not that's not it. It's not because heat comes into your mouth. Like cold doesn't come into your mouth. Have you ever thought it's so cold that I can feel the back of my throat freezing?
Well,
anything like that.
Yes. And I tell you, I've never once been cold and be like, you know what, I'll fix this if I plug up my ears.
Literally, why do you think people wear earmuffs?
Style.
Your ear. Who have you ever seen that looks stylish in a pair of earmuffs? You ever go, oh wow, she is rocking those. You know what people look like in earmuffs? They look fucking warm because that's what they do.
I was actually looking at a girl the other day wearing earmuffs, thinking like that's a really odd thing to wear. I just think earmuffs are really weird. And she had cat ears like on the top of the hairband, and then she had her earmuffs. And I was like, but that's like you've got four ears now. And I don't really understand the concept of what you've done here.
You've negated the covering up of the ears by adding an extra pair of ears to your on your ear covers.
I just didn't really understand the whole system. And I don't really understand earmuffs. So
I don't knock it till you try it. You're making me dig in now. So I'm going to go earmuffs just out of sheer stubbornness. It was a genuinely open contest because I do hate when you're cold and your hands start freezing. You can't feel it. But like also you can use your sleeves for that. You can pull your sleeves over. Like I'll often do that. Like when I don't carry gloves around me for the most part, unless it's proper freezing and I think of it. So most of the time I do end up just pulling my sleeves over my hands and it's fine. It's the same. And as well with gloves, if like on the off chance I had a phone, and I'm going to presume that I'm not getting great signal here because that ruins the premise of us being trapped. But like, you know, when you have a phone and you have gloves and you have to like change the song in your Spotify or whatever, and you just have to take off your glove and just like fucking press it. Or you have to wear fingerless gloves. And like, then it just defeats the purpose of wearing gloves to begin with because it's coming in through the top. No, I'm going earmuffs. I'm stubborn now. Sorry. That's me. A tennis racket or a cricket bat?
Right. I despise Negan. Okay. Like no redemption arc for me. He can go raw.
But right, like next week, Katie Harvey. Negan is a good guy.
No, I feel like I won't backtrack on this because, you know, like, Glenn meant a lot to me. I don't think I can backtrack on this. But he was onto something with a bat. That is a cool apocalypse weapon. So I would get the cricket bat and find some barbed wire to cover it in because it's just so multi-purpose. I just don't think you would hurt someone with a tennis racket to the extent you would need to hurt them if you were in a situation. So okay. I would go for a cricket bat and use that as a weapon.
Okay, Tom, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the cricket bat as well.
Eddie's a prod, pass it on.
What did he say?
I don't know. You think he forgets that I'm doing this with headphones and he just wanders in and says things.
He just wanders in and starts rumors about you.
Yeah, cricket bat, I'd say.
Cricket bat. Okay. Cricket bat. Go for it.
Yeah, way better as a weapon.
It is a more effective weapon, okay? However, we haven't identified any potential enemies to need a weapon to use it against. What we have done is made friends with potential enemies, potential lethal enemies in tigers. And the problem with this
and
is...
Robbie Keane.
And Robbie Keane, we're not going to need a cricket bat for, right? Okay, like we're not. Like, whereas no. I think if you're walking around constantly around Tigers who are currently, for the time being, your mates, and then you turn around and like have a cricket bat with barbed wire, they're going to look at you like, what? Who's she going to use that cricket bat on? And then the Tigers in their own Tiger language are going to be like, oh, you think you're safe? Why is Katie Walker out of cricket bat? Whereas I think if you're walking around with a tennis racket, you're just going to be like, ah, he just wants to play tennis. You know what I mean? And it's like, Robbie, game of tennis? And he's like, there's only one racket. And I'm like, you're a professional sportsman, figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, and then I get to play tennis. Whereas like, presume that we never run into any rivals that we need to use a weapon on. And I've gotten by with that logic 99% of my life. So like, what would I rather play, tennis or cricket? It's tennis all day, so I'm picking the tennis racket. A donut, any flavor, or a bagel, any flavor? Dom, I'm going to make you get off the fence. You can't just pick what kind you pick because you're going first here.
God damn it. I don't really eat either, but I do prefer donuts, so I'm going to go with a Kinder Bueno donut just because I like
it. Oh, what a choice.
Solid.
No other reasoning.
See, Dom, you don't need that, Katie. You don't need to rely on her answers. You did excellent with your own. Katie, what are you thinking?
See, I think in answering your question last time, you forget about the Walking Dead factor. There is always enemies watching. There will always be gangs. You will have to defend yourself in any situation. Okay, so I would pick the bagel because even if the Tigers turn into my enemies, what I could do is let the bagel go stale so it goes really, really hard. And then I could simply pop it over a Tiger's nose and then they are unable to open their mouth and eat me. So it's protection.
It's a long game.
You can try that if you want.
And it also requires you to be around the Tigers while they're sleeping, while you're also their enemies. Again, I feel like you're going to lose the Tigers very early on because the paranoia that the Tigers are going to attack you. Like, you're just assuming that, like, you're writing what you started the show with by saying that you're seeing everything as the apocalypse now. Now, this is a bad situation. But again, Kento has never said that anything's about to attack us. Like, you brought in the Tiger element. And then we said they're friendly. And then you're like, yeah, they're still going to get me while they sleep. Well, so I need to cover their nose with a bagel. Like, this paranoia is going to lose you the Tigers. You could have potential allies, but you've lost them just to paranoia that they're going to eat you.
Yeah, I'm definitely like gone like fucking, you know, full Rick Grimes when he doesn't trust anyone. Like,
you're literally 5 episodes away from making a bunker. Like, so I'm concerned about you is what I'm saying.
I'm still going with the bagel.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to go for a donut any day. I'm going to go with, do you know what? Like, it sounds boring. I'm going to go with a Krispy Kreme jelly donut because that's the nicest donut. Like, a donut with a hole is amazing, but like, it is good. Like, don't get me wrong. But like, again, it just feels like I've missed about half of it. Do you know what I mean? I feel denied when I eat a whole donut. You know what I mean? Whereas like, if I eat a donut with filling, I'm like, oh, I've gotten like, I feel like I've got extra. And then like, you know, when you have the Krispy Kreme one, like full of sugar on the outside, full of jam on the inside, it's amazing. So I'm going to go traditional and maybe a bit boring there, but I regret nothing. Jeremy Kyle or Jerry Springer? Dom, do you know who either of these people are?
Oh no, I've watched Jeremy Kyle like a good bit. Like that's, like that was just a go-to. Like whenever there's nothing on, I just watch Jeremy Kyle. I've seen clips of Jerry Springer, so I'm going to go with Jeremy Kyle because I'd say he's way more of a survivalist than Jerry Springer. That's what I think anyway.
Okay. What makes you think that? Like, what do you think his skills would be?
I don't know. I'm drawing a blank here.
No worries, no worries. Katie, of the two, who are you taking?
I'm definitely picking Jerry Springer because he seems like he's actually a nice person who wants to help. So when I have this eventual dispute with the Tigers, I'm hoping we can sit down with Jerry Springer and he'll be able to look at both sides and he'll be able to, you know, we can come to a decision, me and the Tigers, and we'll all leave happy. Whereas Jeremy Kyle just seems like a bit of a rat, to be honest. And the only reason I would want him on the island is probably to feed him to one of my Tigers. You clearly haven't Googled Jeremy Kyle recently.
No, I haven't.
So yeah, I'm going to go Jerry Springer because I think he'll reconcile me and the Tigers if we follow.
It's a very good point. And I was thinking along similar lines. I think it's going to be like, you know, we have it out. Me and the Tigers have it out. Well, first off, Jerry Springer always brings amazing security with him. So, like, he's going to, like, there's going to be a fight, but someone's going to jump in straight away because shit never got too out of control on Jerry Springer. So the security's going to jump in and save me. That's fine. And then what's going to happen is after everything's calmed down, Jerry Springer's going to be, like, just sit down at the end of it all, and he's just going to go, you know, a lot of times tigers and humans fight, and that's okay. But you know what? The important thing is that tigers and humans can come together at the end of the day and look out for each other, because in times where you're freezing your ass off in the Siberian mountains, you don't have much else. Take good care of each other and each other. I got that wrong. Shit, I forgot to catch right at the end. Shit. But then I think of Jeremy Kyle, and I'm actually going to pick him. Reason being, sometimes it's best to bond with people that you don't know very well by mutually disliking the same person. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like whenever, like there's someone, like you're in a situation, you're in a new job with people or whatever, and you're just like, there's someone who's just a bit of an arsehole. And then everyone kind of goes, they're a bit of an arsehole, aren't they? And then they're like, yeah, yeah, they fucking are. And then you end up making best friends with those people. I think that would be what Jeremy Kyle is to me and the Tigers. I think we'd be just all tiptoeing around each other. He's like, yeah, he seems sound enough, but I don't know. And it's like, ah, he doesn't like Jeremy either. All right, he's sound. And then I'm like, yeah, do you want to eat him? Like, he looks juicy, doesn't he? And then they're like, oh, yeah, do you want a piece? I'm like, I'm not a cannibal. It's more for you. And they're like, oh, man, this Rick guy is fucking dead on. So now not only have I bonded with them through mutual dislike, I've also fed them and fed them well and denied my opportunity for food, which they might see as quite tasty, but I wasn't going to eat it anyway. I was never tempted to eat Jeremy Kyle. So, yeah, no, I think that'd work out best because the risk with like hoping for Jerry Springer to like cure everything through like a well-timed speech is that it just doesn't work. And like, he's like, you know, the thing with tigers is just claw his face off. And I'm like, there's my plan A, B, C, and D gone. And now the tigers have a bloodlust, so I'm fucked. Whereas, like, at least this way, I'm acknowledging the fact that tigers are tigers and they're going to eat Jeremy Kyle and I can benefit from that. Jim Ross or Jerry Lawler? Tough one, tough one. Katie Harvey, you've had experiences with one. And maybe not the one you'd think you'd have the story from. So who are you picking out of these two?
Oh, this is a tough one, isn't it? Because I don't want to be on an island with either of them. I don't even have a funny way of answering this. You know what? I actually think it's going to be controversial. I actually think Jerry Lawler is the least offensive one of the two. So I'm going to go for Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, I agree. And like, here's the thing. Jerry Lawler is some man for the quips. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas like, if you ever listen to JR on a podcast, he's like, you know what I mean? Like everything he says comes back to a weird, creepy old man sexual innuendo. It's like, oh, look, there's a lot of mountains over there. And he'd be like, yeah, I bet there's more mountains. And I was like, oh, you made it weird. You made it weird, JR. Oh, I don't want to go to mountains with you now. Whereas Jerry Lawler would have a funny quip about a mountain, you know what I mean? And about like, I used to want to go up my mountain, but my ex-wife wouldn't let me. And it's like, okay, that wasn't the best joke, but it's better than like making it into a sexual object like JR would. Although Jerry Lawler's not much better than that. So yeah, I'm actually going Lawler as well. Who are you thinking, Dom?
I'm going to go with Jim Ross, and he's going to be my plan B for the Tigers if they come towards me. I'm going to feed him to the Tigers if it comes to that.
I can get behind that plan.
And I'm going to say for Katie Harvey as it happens.
A flamethrower or a pack of matches? This seems easy. What's the catch? Dom, what's your thoughts?
Like, yeah, a flamethrower, like, weapon. You can use it to melt ice. Like, there has to be some sort of catch, but I'm going to go with the flamethrower.
Yeah, I'm going.
Like, well, how many flames do you get in the thrower?
Like,
that's the thing.
Flames aren't quantifiable. Like, it's not like you don't get four flames. It's not like a bullet, like where a flame comes out. Like,
well, it is. Just, that's what it is.
No, there's a certain amount of fire. Like, you're talking as in 20 flames. It's not like that's not how flames work. There's not an individual. No, because what the way it works is that there's like, you know, a certain amount, like there's 1,000 like in it, but it's not like a 1,000 individual flames. It's like, that's not how it works.
Is it not that you have to put basically bullets in it?
No, it's like there's an amount of fire that's in it. There's an amount of fuel that's in it. Think of how a fire works.
No, look, again, if The Walking Dead...
Have you ever looked at a fire? Like, a flamethrower is just a gun that sprays fire. Have you ever looked at a fire and gone, oh, yeah, an L30 flamer?
No, but you have to load pellets into a flamethrower. Like, that's how it works.
I don't think you do.
I don't know if you can hear that, but Phil is just shouting from the next room that I'm very dumb. So clearly we're going to have an argument about flamethrowers today. So thanks for that. I think I'm going to go for the pack of matches.
Well, of course you are.
I think it's more practical if you need to start a fire to keep you warm and cook and anything like that. You don't want to be like whipping up a flamethrower every time you want to make a burger. That's not practical. And with the matches, you can like... I don't know, like you can just keep a small fire going. I just think it's more practical than a flamethrower.
Like, yeah. Do you know what the type of ammo is for a flamethrower?
Pellets?
No, diesel or gas. Like, it's a fire.
Look, I think we're picturing two very different ideas of...
Yeah, like, no, I'm picturing what a flamethrower is. I just looked it up because you made me double think.
I'm going to Google what is a flamethrower.
Go flamethrower ammo. There you go. So we'll be looking at the same page. I'll go flamethrower. It's actual fire versus like small cheaty things that you use to make fire. And also matches are going to go out. You're in the freezing cold. You're going to light a match and then it's going to go like straight away.
I'm actually thinking of a bazooka is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, no, not the same thing. Like that's, and that's not a pellet. Like that's a rocket you put into a bazooka.
I was thinking of that scene in The Walking Dead where Daryl shoots the saviors on the road, yeah. But like, and then they all go up in flames. To my head, that was a flamethrower. So
I have a feeling Phil's going to win that argument tonight. Last one: Kanye West or Eminem?
Kanye West. He could have become president, so gonna go with Kanye West.
No, I'm gonna go Eminem because I was forced into listening to quite a lot of Eminem last year. So much so that he became number 4 on my Spotify Unwrapped, despite the fact I have never willingly put on an Eminem song myself. But he's all right. Like, yeah.
What's your favorite M track?
The Way I Am.
It's a good song. It is a good song.
Great teenage angst.
Yeah, but also as well, like, it's a good song about celebrity. Like, actually, it's good lyrics. It's an interesting one. Yeah, I like that. That's a solid show. Tough. Because, again, it's like, you know, we got to think of the Tigers. We've literally just done the same with Bears, except now with Tigers. Why do we have to give ourselves animal friends or adversaries that nobody asks us to? No, I'm going to go with him because I think he's like, you know, he's going to rap some like of my old classic childhood songs. I think Kanye West is just going to wreck my head. He's going to wreck the Bear's head. But he is a human that I can actually talk to. So I'm going to need to talk to him and I might get caught up as his friend. They may confuse me as his friend at some stage. He fascinates me. So I'm going to want to talk to him. I'm going to want to be like, say something mental. Go on. And then like he's going to say it like, and then that's fine. Whereas Eminem, Eminem seems quiet in real life as well. Which I think I'd vibe on the island, but like on the island, on the fucking mountain. I'm going to go Eminem as well. Dom, any final thoughts?
Yeah. Kanye West. Cause he could have became president. So, you know, he has a good head. Clearly he made it that far. So, gonna go with Kanye West.
Yeah, but Tigers can't vote, so I don't think that's
irrelevant.
he's not gonna be president of a tiger.
I don't care.
If anyone's gonna try though,
it will be.
I'm just saying
that would be very entertaining.
He's gonna try bring democracy to tigers, and then he's gonna come back and write an album called "Democracy for Tigers," and we're gonna think it's meaning, it's something deep and meaningful, but it's actually about the time he tried to start democracy for tigers.
Just for that reason alone, I'm gonna double down.
That's fair, fair. Democracy for Tigers, episode title as well, so handy. Thank you, Kanye. Sean says, I don't think the Tigers would even bother with you. They'd see it as a dead way to walk off themselves into the mountain. Oh. Yeah, I agree. I don't think the Tigers are going to be an immediate threat, but I'd like to think we'd make friends. I would. Anyway, thank you, Takedo, for the question.
Tigers, what's next?
Dave Cullen said, I recently started a new online course. Good for you, Dave. Dave, by the way, you can check out this week on the Lobos Network in the brand new Talk Nerdy to Me, where him and Jerry go through some nerdy news. They talk about Dustin Diamond, aka Screech, pay tribute to him, talk about some favorite Saved by the Bell moments, as well as talk about the big twist in WandaVision, which we'll discuss ourselves shortly. He's recently started a new online course, though, and asked what he'd like to know, what's the most significant change that you've all made in your life? Dom, is there a big change that comes to mind?
Yeah, I think this one's a fairly easy answer. Maybe a bit too obvious, but I don't know. That would be joining Fight Factory in 2015. Because before then, I was literally just a quiet lad with literally no confidence. I just watched wrestling and played video games all day. No social life whatsoever. Like, being a wrestler wasn't even on my mind at all. But it was something I just wanted to try at least once. Then I did one beginner's training. I just became absolutely hooked. Like, even though wrestling's not a factor now in terms of, like, training and shows and stuff, like, I still watch it, obviously, but, like, the actual performing and training isn't a factor. Like, despite that, like, I wouldn't be doing podcasts like this one, for example. I wouldn't be talking to everyone in Fight Factory, like, literally every single day and, like, made loads of friends. Yeah, I think that's
absolutely
me.
Awesome. Love those stories. They're the best. Like, whenever you're feeling like, you know, wrestling's wrecking me head or anything like that, when they're shite on Twitter, that I like hearing those stories where it's like, oh yeah, wrestling is a part to play, and does a lot of good. So nice one, Dom. That was a nice serious answer. Loved it. Katie, what are you thinking yourself? Big changes you made?
I'm gonna ruin it now. Ruin Dom's nice. I know, like, that's a lovely answer, Dom. I was thinking, like, the most significant change is probably, you know, agreeing to tie myself to Phil for the rest of my life. But we've been together for 10 years, so it wasn't that significant a change, to be honest.
You just wear a ring now.
Rick Grimes impressions now.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I didn't realize that when we got engaged, I'd also be, like, getting engaged to Rick Grimes as well on the side. And going to have my life narrated, like in that way now. But I guess
that sounds
fine.
Class.
So, wake up.
I guess the most significant change I've made in my life is starting The Walking Dead and committing to getting past the first season.
It literally is all you can think of. You're proper hooked. Hilarious. This has never ever binged 10 series shows, folks. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Low Blows. For myself, recently, a couple of years ago, I started to be selfish, but in a good, positive way, if that makes sense. I've always been like a people pleaser. And it was when I kind of had a lot of circumstances go against me that I'm like, this isn't actually benefiting me. Like, if you think about what I do, like, I make parties for everyone else where I don't get to watch the pay-per-view most of the time because I'm running around and making sure everyone else is okay. And that's just always been like kind of my way, even if it doesn't come across necessarily, like when you hear me on podcasts and so on. And the past few years, I'm just like, no, do you know what? I'm going to fucking live for me and I'm going to be selfish for a while and just take some time out and just like kind of get my life to where I want it to be rather than sacrificing a lot to make everyone else happy just because, I don't know, I guess that's just something that I learned along the way that was a bad habit I got into. And I've done it, and I've like kind of focused on career and life and what makes me happy and putting myself first and a lot of things. And it's a habit as well once you do it, because once you start doing it and you stop kind of now I'm still the same person. Like I ran a party last week. Do you know what I mean? It's not like I completely changed and lost the nice side to me. You keep that, but then also when you're in situations where you're just like, you learn to ask yourself, what do I want to do? What's good for me? And they were questions that I didn't ask myself. And now that I start to, I answer and I go, do I want to actually do this, or am I doing this because I think I should, or because other people want me to? And it's actually worked a lot. Like I'm kind of, even in the middle of a pandemic, I'm at a stage where I'm like kind of, I'm in a better way. And kind of, you know, whereas maybe I would have been prone to like having meltdowns and stuff like that in the past. Now I'm just like, I'm solid as a rock. And this is with bad circumstances in the world happening. So like, imagine what's going to happen when the world opens back up and opportunities arise and stuff. And I've kind of like, because of that, I've kind of even been able to use the pandemic to kind of better my life and so on. So that when that happens, I'm going to have a really fucking good life because of it. And it's okay to do that. Like, I don't need to feel bad. Whereas maybe before I would have, I'd been like, well, what, is everyone else okay? Is everyone else okay? Yeah, everyone else is okay. They're looking out for themselves. So it's a good habit to get into, I think, and one that's kind of benefited me quite a lot. Geez, Dave, asking the bleeding deep questions. Like, we're just talking about fighting or making friends with tigers a second ago. It really is a show where anything can be discussed. Next up, Joe asks, has Brexit had any impact on your life yet? No. So far, I've only noticed the Tesco beside me no longer has salsa I like, as well as other products. All right, Karen. And Amazon Prime is now dirt with half the titles locked.
Oh, really?
This is proper pandemic problems. Pandemic first world problems. But I feel you, Joe. No, look. In these times, especially, our comforts matter, our home comforts matter. So when we lose something like that, imagine Keane if Pringles got discontinued, like he'd become a wreck. That's what happened, actually. Maybe that's why he's not on the show anymore. Katie, has Brexit had any impact on your life yet?
Kind of really similar. Like Tesco no longer do my dog's favorite treats. Ooh. And they're quite upset. So I have to try and find alternatives. I say their favorite treats. They like Tesco meat sticks, and I don't want to pay for Schmeckos, which are the same thing, but Pedigree brand. So apparently that is a knock on from Brexit. I don't know why they're holding up dog treats out of everything, but they are. Amazon Prime as well. Every Friday, I do a watch night with two friends I made in college, and they live in Scotland. We can now no longer access the same films on Prime. Stuff is region locked for me. So it just makes like picking a film so much harder. Like it only inconveniences for about 15 minutes where it's like, oh, let's watch this one. I can't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, it's just an annoying little thing when I was in the habit of every Friday, we just pick an Amazon film and go for it. That there's that extra little barrier now.
Sean asked, do VPNs not work for Prime?
I don't know what that is.
VPN, Google it. It's actually a really handy thing, and you can get it. Like if you use Chrome, you can get add-ons that actually American work Netflix. Really well. Yeah. So you can use like different region stuff. It's worth it. They're actually very, they seem scary, but they're actually very handy to use. I'll go through it with you off air, because no one wants to hear a podcast where someone tells someone how to use a VPN.
I do.
But guys, if you want to, there you can send, if someone is a better guy, because I'm not even the best with that. Like if someone knows it, send a VPN, send Katie Harvey the info on how she can get set up. And that'd be a big help to her. It's Friday today when you're listening to this, so you could actually make her Friday night if you act quick enough. Dom, has Brexit affected you in any way?
This is going to make for absolutely atrocious podcast content, but no.
Look, it'd be worse if you lied. Yeah, Joe, I'm struggling as well to think of ways that it's affected me. Like, I guess I got a bit stressed because I ordered something from the UK at the end of last year, and I was worried I might get hit for customs. And then when it arrived, I didn't. But the stress was real.
Where I think it's really going to suck, right, is when live music and stuff comes back.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
The visa issues between people playing in the EU versus playing in the UK, I think, is going to suck. I was reading a little bit about it, and it's going to be a lot harder to put gigs on. And I don't know if as many bands will tour Europe from America if they can't get into the UK because it's too expensive with visas and stuff. So that is one way I'm envisioning it, like, sucking in a couple of months.
Yeah, that's a very good point. See, this is the thing. Like, we can't live more than 5 kilometers away from our gaff at the moment. Yeah. So, like,
we'll see when things open up.
Yeah, that's it. Like, if something back where I grew up in Blanchardstown was wrong, it wouldn't affect my life in any way because it's 15 kilometers away. So Brexit is like, holy shit, Britain still exists. But when it opens back up, I guess that's going to be something where it's like, surprise. This has been in for months. You just haven't realized this. So that's a very good point. I don't know. What are we hoping the lockdown stays? I don't know. Thanks for your question, Joe. Dan got on and asked, favorite Alan Partridge moment. Have you got a? Have you ever watched Alan Partridge's film?
Yeah, I've watched I'm Alan Partridge. Nice. That's the one with 2 seasons, isn't it? On Netflix, yeah. In the hotel and stuff. Yeah, that's brilliant. I absolutely love it. That's the only one I've seen, but it's the episode where he's antagonizing the Norfolk Farmers Union, then he interviews the lad at the end and he just keeps pissing him off. And I can't quote it, but it's just so good. And the other stuff as well, when he's quoting like ideas for a TV show, stuff like that. Like, I absolutely love that.
What is it? Chris Akabusi flying.
Yachting turkey. Mishaps. Something tragic.
Katie, have you spoken about this before? I think, have you watched Alan Partridge?
No, I've never seen it.
You love it. It's very good. You proper love it. Like, Mid-Morning Matters is actually a very underrated. If you're looking for Alan Partridge content, you can get this on YouTube, Dom, especially if you've watched it and you're looking for more. It is actually just like 15 minutes of a radio show. And it's like, it's scripted, like, but like, it's fantastic, like, because it's actually like, you know, the clips you get at the start of Alan Partridge, imagine that was stretched out and you actually got to experience a radio show. It's brilliant. It's fantastic, like, so stuff like that I like. You definitely like, you know what Alan Partridge is, Katie, don't you?
Yeah, like, and a lot of people have recommended it to me. I just have never delved into it.
It's proper, like, you have to be proper sharp as well, like, because the jokes come at you, like, very quick. I like the one where he was with the Swingers. Like, he made mates and I'm Alan Partridge with the Swingers, and like, there was the scene where it's like, Dan, but then what is it? He just becomes obsessed with this guy, but then like, they become such good friends, they get invited back to like hang out, and then they start like trying to have sex with him, like a couple start trying to have sex with him, and then he's like, "You're sex people, you're sex swappers, don't rub your fanny on me." He just comes out with this stuff. That's it for me, but there's so many. Alpha Papa
fan as well.
What's that?
The one with the obsessed fan that has like a shrine to him in his house. That's a great episode.
Love it. I want to go down an Alan Partridge rabbit hole. Speaking of which, though, someone got in touch. It is our old friend John Kelly, who, by the way, funny that of all weeks, Dan should ask that. The last time I heard John, he was recapping Alan Partridge for us for the Low Blows Network. So that's an amazing coincidence. Thank you for getting in touch with John. I've really missed your questions. I may be no use for this one, but I sense that Katie Harvey will be in her element for this. So I'm gonna dust off the old John Kelly impression. With the time skip in this week's episode, where do you see the main characters in Riverdale 6 years later? Who is down and out giving handjobs for crack? Who is successful? Will the love triangle be addressed? Will Cheryl Blossom declare her undying love for me? Katie, I don't know what any of those words mean. I'm gonna hand it over to you.
Do you have any like idea what Riverdale is?
No.
I know what it is.
It's a show. That's all I know.
Yeah, it's a television show.
It is the greatest bad show of all time.
Okay.
Like, it is about a group of high schoolers, and the first season was about a murder mystery where one of their brothers had been murdered. even though they're still in high school, it has somehow evolved to where the teenage characters own rum empires, brothels, have gone to juvie for murders that they didn't commit, that were actually committed by gangsters called Poutine and Small Fry.
Obviously.
There's biker gangs. There is, like, everything you could think of happened to these kids in their 4 years of high school. And it is just, it's tremendous. Speaking of bears, Archie, main character, got mauled by a bear, nearly died, fought it off, came back, went to juvie, got out of juvie because he talked about high school football. It's a whole thing. It's
did
deadly.
He wait, hold on. Did he go wild. To juvie for getting attacked by a bear? Because that seems very unfair.
No, sorry.
That's like a double whammy.
I got that on the right. He was on the run from juvie.
Oh, okay.
Got attacked by a bear and had to return home to his town.
Right.
Where he went back to juvie, which was actually an underground bare knuckle boxing ring for rich people to bet on. It's insane. And
it sounds like a very Katie Harvey show.
I love every second of it. But they've done a time jump now anyway, so they've aged them up so they're not in high school anymore. They're in their 20s.
Okay.
I just don't know what there's left for them to do, to be honest. So I've seen the trailer, so I know where they end up 6 years later. Who do I think is given hand jobs for crack? That is quite a question.
There's the quote. There's the That's just going to be, it's going to be the clip for the show this week. It's just going to be a 3 second clip. Who do I think is giving hand jobs for crack?
Please don't put that out there, because people will immediately quote tweet it being like, who's she shooting on now? And they won't get that I'm talking about a TV show. See, they've also already had a storyline though where they're doing tickle jobs for money. So that kind of is very similar. And that was Tony and Fangs doing that. So maybe they'll go down that route. The love triangle has to be addressed because that's what the comics are built on. And that's what they've been building for 5 seasons now. So that'll definitely come into play. And unfortunately, I don't think Cheryl Blossom will declare her undying love for you because she is gay. So I don't think her girlfriend would be too happy about that.
Seems so, like a long shot.
Sorry.
Damn, that's heartbreaking.
More heartbreak for John. He's had a career of it. Like, he fell in love with Linda Block and then I think she got shot and died or something. So long career heartbreak for John. But look, we're glad to have you back, and we hope that's not the last we hear from you for a while, John. Do keep in touch, because always a pleasure. Hope you're keeping well in these strange times. Clujus now got on and asked, given how well received WandaVision is, do you think the MCU will benefit long term both having both TV shows and movies rather than just movies? I love the idea of there being both TV shows and movies. Great way to change things up. Dom, are you a big MCU or WandaVision fan?
I haven't seen WandaVision, but I've seen like all of the, well, most of the MCU films. Like,
okay.
I would have been big into Avengers, Infinity War and Endgame when they came out, but I haven't really rewatched them or anything.
Okay.
So I wouldn't know like much of the smaller details and stuff like that.
Do you think WandaVision is something that you'd be interested in, you'll get around it, or is it just not catching you so far?
When I first heard about it, I was just like, I don't know, it just doesn't appeal to me. But the more I hear about it, the more intriguing it is, just because of how mental it seems. So I'm definitely going to check it out. But I think I want to like properly watch the MCU, like in chronological order or whatever, or release order.
Nice.
I'll have to decide that down the line, but I think I'll do that first before I watch it. I still need to watch The Mandalorian as well. So
there's a lot of TV shows coming out now as well. Like, you might be snowed under. You need to really get on top of your MCU now. Katie, I want to talk about last week's twist without giving spoilers away. I don't want to obviously ruin it on Dom or anyone else who hasn't seen it, but we'll dance around the point. But first off, to Adam's question, do you think it's better having both TV shows and movies, or just movies? Are you into the new kind of setup that they have?
I absolutely love the fact they've incorporated TV shows. And I said it when WandaVision started, I love that they're 30-minute episodes. I love that I get one weekly, because it was like we talked about, like with The Walking Dead and me binging it. Like, I do actually like watching TV shows weekly because I like the discourse around it. Like, I loved when we watched the final season of Game of Thrones and we spent the whole week discussing the hour of television and coming up with theories. You don't get that when you binge something, you know what I mean? Except for when I pause it 5 minutes to go grab a bag of popcorn, you know what I mean?
And we get a frantic text going, the spikes!
Yeah, so like, I absolutely love the TV show for this reason. It's just like when a new film comes out, and you have a year between films and there's lots of discourse about it. But with the TV show, it's just a lot more punchy because it's like, I have a week to digest this, come up with my theories, and then boom, I get an answer the following week. Yeah. And I do. I absolutely love that. And I love how weird they've gone with WandaVision, because I think by doing the first one a little bit weird, it gives them free reign to do whatever they want, whatever comes next. I've seen the trailer for Falcon and Winter Soldier, and it looks like a more kind of traditional action adventure TV show, which again, Winter Soldier is my favorite character. I'm very excited for. And the reason why the TV shows are great is because it is letting us focus on them smaller characters in the MCU. Like Bucky got a lot of screen time in The Winter Soldier and in Civil War, but you know, he deserves more screen time. And I love the fact that TV shows are giving it to us. Same with Wanda and Vision. You know what I mean? I love that we're getting so much more time with them.
He's never got like, though, like even when he got that extra screen time, it was as Captain America's mate. And he was there to give Captain America a chance to develop his character based around, you know, in Civil War, for example, he gave Captain America a whole new edge. Do you know, because like I'm Team Tony in that, you know, and I might prefer, like even in this rewatch, I actually probably do prefer Captain America. But in terms of the arguments that they have, I'm like, oh, Cap, you're compromised morally here. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot going on here, and this isn't you. This isn't what you'd make if you weren't having all this go on with Bucky. So like that's why he exists. But now I love the fact that he's getting it again. Like you say, here's the thing. It's tough. I never go and watch and look forward to, and it's too big of a risk for Marvel to release a Falcon and Winter Soldier movie because the amount of expense that it goes to, but a TV show is less risk. And it's like, oh yeah, that's, I can get to know them over a few weeks and stuff like that. And like, kind of not ask too much of me. So, yeah, I'm into it. I'm actually like, I do want to get to know these characters better, because it's not that I was never a huge fan of either of them. It's just, I don't know them. And the same goes for like Wanda and Vision. And now when I'm doing a rewatch concurrently with WandaVision. I just watched Endgame the other night. And like when Wanda comes on the screen and like confronts Thanos and is like, you took everything from me. I'm like, fucking get him. Do you know what I mean? Cause now I'm like, I actually feel the emotion that she's going through there. Like that it's contextualized and added so much more. And now we know that it's building up to, it's not a secret and this isn't a spoiler because we don't know how, but we know that this show is directly linked with Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So this is all like setting up a movie, and the fact that they're doing it is so, I don't know, just in rewatching, and I've said this before, I'm following along with one of my favorite podcasts, Binge Mode, but in rewatching the MCU and getting that perspective, following along the podcast and learning about the history of Marvel and what they did use and what they didn't use from the comics and that side of stuff, and how they've managed to tie this all together into such a perfect finale and Endgame, is like, I'm just blown away by the vastness of the project, by how much they have to do to succeed, and by how well they've done it. Like, think of the payoff. Like, I have no problem telling you that, like, now it was a rough day, like, because like I just listened to around the NFL, just did it, like one of the, it's an NFL podcast I listened to, but one of the hosts actually died on that last week. So I listened to a tribute podcast to him, and I was in an emotional way anyway on Monday. But when that fucking, you know, comeback at the end of Endgame happened, and it's like, and it's like, Avengers assemble, it's like I cried. I was just like, and I do every time, like I tear up at the very least, but then I just was like, no, this is just fucking too good. This, and it wasn't even like sad tears, it was just like, I can't hold in my fucking emotions, I can't hold in my energy, the tears are just coming out now, because it's that good. And how they've done it, like, it is so impressive. And I think they're only getting more ambitious and bigger and more confident with WandaVision. I worry, you know what I mean? I worry that with the multiverse, it's going to start getting messy. It's going to start getting confusing. But also I go, yeah, you know what? I felt that though before. I'm like, you're going to tie all the superheroes together. You're going to put like, you're going to do a movie with Captain America, Thor and Iron Man. Those three superheroes in the same movie? I don't think so. And then I watch Endgame where there's like thousands of people come back at the same time. And I'm like, I understand all of their motivations.
I think that's what's so good about WandaVision in comparison to movies is it's 30 minutes, right? And yeah. I feel like we're being dripped ideas.
Yeah.
Like we're not getting too much at once. We're getting like maybe one big thing an episode. And then you've got your smaller things you can look at, but if you don't catch them, it's okay. Like the commercials and the different references and stuff like that. But it's like it's training us to like really react to those one big it's like wrestling, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like the twist from last week is like Hogan Sam and Andre. It's the big thing that happens that everyone remembers. It doesn't really matter what happened in the first 25 minutes because they've built us up for that one big moment at the end of the episode. And I love that WandaVision is stripping it back to that.
I want to talk about bits in that episode. Of course, obviously the end has implications that we may not even fully understand until 3 years from now and 4 movies and 5 TV shows. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We may not fully appreciate it. So I don't know how much we could go into it, even if we were going with spoilers, but things that I loved. Do you know what? One of my low-key favorite moments in Marvel happened last week, and it wasn't even the end. It was the argument they were having when she rolled the credits in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, this was like, this show is breaking my brain. How is it? Like, this should be confusing, but it's actually, I now understand everyone, what's going on, why this is happening. And this is somehow making it more intense where there's just like typical cheesy credits rolling and they're still continuing the argument. Mm. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is just, she's gaslighting them, but in this weird world. And now I think I speak this language. I love the fact they've got Darcy in it as well. Mm. And she's just our avatar. And she's just like, they've recasted. And then it's like, or they have Jimmy Woo with the whiteboard, like just writing out, how did they know the theories we'd be discussing?
Yeah. Also, I love him. And this is one thing I love about Marvel is they pull such small characters and then make me fall in love with them.
Yes.
Like, you know, he had a tiny part in Ant-Man and now I'm just like, oh my God, I love him. He needs his own show. And like the small callbacks. I don't know. Did you see the thing about the card?
The card? Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah. It's so clever. So clever. So for anyone who hasn't seen it, there's a scene in Ant-Man where Scott Lang is doing the card trick and Jimmy Woo is like, how do you do that? Like, how do you do it? And he can't figure out the card trick. And then when he reappears in WandaVision, that's how he introduces himself. He does the card trick with his business card. And it's just like, there's so much in this, but like just one big relevant detail and then all these really cool, like little fan service things that we can go back and see.
So dense, but like so rewarding as well. Like Adam says, I've fallen down a bit of a rabbit hole this week with WandaVision and the commercials in each episode relating to Infinity Stones. This is what happens when I have to wait a week for the next episode. Yeah, but isn't it so nice? Mm-hmm. Like we haven't had a show like this. Like you had Lost, we used to talk about it like this way, then this Game of Thrones, and now this. I love having a show to geek out on. And with the amount of like, consider again, probably Falcon and Winter Soldier will probably be a bit more straightforward, as you say, I agree. But then we're going to have a show about Loki where he becomes like a crime fighter because he goes into a different dimension in Endgame when he takes the Tesseract and disappears. So that's going to be weird as fuck as well. And do you think that they're just going to go, like, do you think for a second that with the Loki TV show, they're just going to go, oh no, it's just this show. He's just going to fight crime and they're not going to bring it into the wider picture. They're going to fucking bring it into the wider picture. This is going to be just like that. So we're going to have that to come now for the next 6 months by the looks of things, which is amazing. And exactly what we need when the entire world is locked down. Exciting times. I feel like we could do an hour on this subject alone, but we shall not because we have more questions to get to. Sean McSarron asks, any funny stories from secondary school? When I was in TY, the fifth, fourth and third year German classes went to Munich. 16-ish people on the trip. A couple of the third years thought it would be funny to shit in the bin in the room and left it in the hallway. The gas part was teachers found out. Oh my God. No.
Oh, Brendan's. Yeah, fun fact, he was in my school.
Amazing. Were you one of the class?
I was the one that did it, yeah. No.
Shit in the bucket.
Funny though, I have some shit related stories though.
Okay, go for it.
Alright, okay, so this kind of revolves around the one lad. Obviously, I won't name him, but he called himself Scorpio, okay? So he went around calling himself Scorpio. And on the very first day of first year, like, he was in my year, he wasn't in my class, but the very first day, he wanted to assert his dominance. So he went up to a fifth year and he said, "I'm Scorpio, fight me." And he just got punched in the face and knocked out. But this lad, in the same year as well, I can't believe I'm saying this on a podcast, but
he's not listening.
I know it's just so funny, but
his name was Sean McGovern.
He pissed in a bottle and he threw it all over someone, and he didn't even get suspended or anything. Instead of getting like punished, he had to write an apology letter. That was it for throwing a bottle of piss on someone. An apology letter. What?
No, come on, Dom. You're an adult now. You know that behind the scenes there was like, this guy needs to go to counseling, and this guy needs to... because the adults were probably like, this guy isn't just like, he's not a messer. This guy is like fucked up. And we've so I don't think it was that. He probably just said, yeah, I wrote an apology letter, but like, no, the adults would have heard that and then been like, this guy's fucked up. This guy's next level psychopath.
But now, I don't know if he did do this, but he was a prime suspect. I remember it was in one of the French rooms, and Scorpio, I'm Scorpio, fight me. But yeah, it was in one of the French rooms. And I remember after break hearing that someone had shat on the radiator in the French room. And the teacher just walked in and just freaked out. But yeah, he was the prime suspect in that. Just
why were people shitting all over the school? I went to school up the road from the two of you. Like, I went to Killian's, which is like 15 minutes away. Like, and like, nobody shit around the school. Like, people shit in the toilets. What happened? No, this was that Bray border. Like,
this was an epidemic. Like, this was very common. Like, this was the stuff I was around for that I probably heard of, but I've heard of more throughout the years, like shitting in urinals. Like,
the thing I don't understand is my school was known as the rough one in Bray. Like, my school was known as like
that's because like you attacked people and you're probably outwardly violent, whereas like in Brendan's they just kept to themselves and just shat places. That's all they did. You know what I mean? Didn't harm anyone else but the radiators.
I actually do have a story as well that it more involves me, and it was just something that made me angry at the time. But it was around the Christmas exams 2015, so like 3 or 4 months after I started training, Finn Balor also went to that school. And at the time, he was the NXT champion. But whatever happened, I was doing Christmas exams at the time, and I think I'd finished the day before he came to the school. I remember hearing off my mom that the school had texted saying, anyone interested in meeting NXT superstar Finn Balor, come to the school at 1 p.m. And I found out like when she finished work at 6 o'clock, and I was snapping. Because I seen pictures the day after of him with the NXT title, like with my teachers and with people from the school. I was absolutely snapping. But I met him like 3 months before in Fight Factory. But like, yeah. I would have liked to meet him in school and actually like talk to him properly.
Especially when you would have got off class and shit. Like,
like, I would have had to go in on my day off, but it would have been worth it.
Yeah, fuck that. Like, yeah, Jesus. Oh, shit was, man. Katie, like, it sounds like there was less shit at your school at the very least.
Yeah, like, I don't think I have any stories. I think we were all seemed really polite and well-behaved in comparison.
That's not true.
Well, you have to understand that I was a nerd as well. Like, I was head girl. I was captain of the debate team. I was on the chess team. That was me in school. So... I wasn't involved in these shenanigans until like I started wrestling. Then I hung out with people who did these kind of things.
Just dragged you down. In a toilet related story, I remember once like I got bullied for like a year in school. We're in the changing room, and like men all know the problem with like splashback, and it happens. Okay, it can happen to the best of us. I remember one time I had the smallest fucking like the smallest splashback fucking stain on boxers when I'm getting changed, and then the next thing, just like any rumor, it's just like, yeah, he wets himself always soaked as soon as when he's getting changed, and that was me for a year. That was me wrote off. Our school was horrible. We just bullied each other. It was absolutely horrible when I think back to it. But yeah, no, that was it. There's loads, like, yeah, but none of us really, like, we shit where we're supposed to shit at the very least. Like, that's
the bare minimum.
Yeah, that's something positive that I can say about our skill. But when that's the biggest compliment that I have, cool mine, you're not looking great in hindsight. Thanks for the question, Sean. He says Brendan's was definitely an experience. It sounds like it. Simpsons WWE gets on and asks the biggest Katie question I've ever heard. If you could click your fingers and have any one conspiracy or urban legend revealed to you, whether it was true or false, what conspiracy or legend would you pick? I'd like to know about DB Cooper airplane hijack. He stole 200k and parachuted out of the plane, never to be seen again. For me, I'll make it short and simple. I'd be like one of those presidents like Barack Obama, where he's like, I got into the White House, what was the first question you asked? You gotta tell me about the aliens. That'd be me. I'm like, what's the story? Now I've got clearance. Aliens, yay or nay? Tell me everything. That'd be me. So Roswell, I guess, would be my conspiracy. Dom, any conspiracies before we get to Katie? Because I feel like she's got a whopper answer for this.
Yeah, mine would be short, don't worry. But yeah, like, thinking about it, like, you could, there's aliens, there's Area 51, there's all that stuff, but there's only one thing that really pops into my head. I want to know if something actually did happen with Randy Savage and Stephanie McMahon, and if he did get blackballed because of that.
Yes,
that's what I want to know.
Yes, because it is, it's so strange that he just, there was that rumors and then they never went into the Hall of Fame until years later when it's Stephanie was like, Yeah. Very weird. That's a really solid answer. I thought you were gonna have a joke one, but I'm like, actually, I wish I'd hit that one. Yeah. Katie, you're
I do want to find out.
Yeah, you're mad into your conspiracy theories and urban legends. What are you thinking?
Yes, this is hard to narrow down, but there's one in particular that I'm fascinated with, and it's have you ever heard of the Dyletov Pass? I don't know if I'm saying that right. It's a Russian word. So Dyletov Pass is an area in Russia, a mountain area, done by hikers, but it can only really be done by experienced hikers. It's a hard trail. So in the 50s, there was a really experienced group of hikers doing the trail. And basically, they made camp one night on their way up, as they were due to do. And the next day, they were all found dead. Okay. Now, this is unusual because, and I got here just to make sure I had them all. So the group's bodies were discovered in investigation. Six of them had died from hypothermia. They were found without their clothes outside their tent. Now, that can be attributed to the fact that when you get hypothermia, you feel too hot, even though you're freezing, and you strip off. So that can actually be common on the mountains. What's not common is the fact that they're experienced hikers and they had brought the right equipment and stuff to camp. So it's a bit weird. They also found three other victims who've been killed by physical trauma, and they have low explanation. They found other victims that were missing their tongues, missing their eyes, that had random cuts. I think they found one that was gutted. And basically, they have no explanation for what happened. The other unusual thing is their tent was sliced open from the inside. So basically, they just emptied the tent in the middle of the night, not wearing their clothes, not with their gear, and then were found scattered all over the mountain the next morning and like varying degrees of like undress and like injuries and all the rest of it. And like, no one knows what happened. There's so many theories. There's theories of animals. There's theories of people attacking them. But there was also no tracks or trails around the camp. Mm. So they haven't been able to track it. Russian military involvement, nuclear involvement, like because it was the 50s and you know, tensions between Russia and America, all sorts of mad conspiracies if you look into it. A report came out last year in 2020 saying that they think it was an avalanche. But like conspiracy theory people like me have our fucking tinfoil hats on and we're like, no, after 60 years, I'm not accepting that this is a simple avalanche that caused this terrible, terrible tragedy. So like if you like looking into stuff like that, it's really interesting. There's so much on the internet about like how the bodies were found, the different theories into what it could be. Like, you will fall down. I don't know if you enjoy falling in a Wikipedia hole. I absolutely love it. I can spend hours on Wikipedia going article to article. But the Dyatlov Pass is so interesting if you take the time to do a deep dive into it.
Dyatlov Pass. I'm saying that right?
Dyatlov Pass. Just pass. Like a, okay, a pass. Grand. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. If anyone wants to check that out, that's an interesting one. Again, story time. I'm into it. Well played. Combat Sports Ira gets on and asks, if OTT returned in the next month with a behind closed doors show, would you be interested? Are you ready for it? This is an interesting one because I feel like we're all going to have different varying answers, and I feel that no answer is invalid here. So, Katie, we'll start with yourself.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Would absolutely turn it down straight away. Ireland is not ready for any kind of thing like that to come back. And it wouldn't be fair. You know what I mean? There's people who can't get out and see their families. It wouldn't be fair to hold a wrestling show. That's not essential. So no, I wouldn't be interested in it at all. We're still months and months away from anything like that.
Okay. Dom, your own thoughts? Again, there's no bad opinion here. It's all just like how you feel. And different people are going to be at different stages here.
Depends on how much he pays me. Nah, I'm not.
You might be in the main event here. Who knows? Who knows who they can get? Like,
see, I misread this. I kind of assumed it being like 6 months or something like that. Like, I didn't think it'd be anytime soon. Like, obviously, if it was like in the next few months, absolutely not. But like 6 months down the line, still, I don't think so. Just because, like OTT needs like a proper reset, and I don't think the way to do that is with behind closed doors show with no fans, because like, I don't know, just like they need a proper reset, and the thing that makes OTT special is the fans as well and the atmosphere. So I think they can hit the reset button when fans actually do come back. And I know like he has to make money with like the VOD and stuff like that, like if he has to do content for that, like that's fair enough, but I think it's best just to wait until he can actually run shows.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's a very good point about the fans as well. Look, I won't go too long on this. I've been quite vocal publicly about and privately about how I feel. And these are just my own thoughts, but like, no, like I've zero appetite at the moment for any OTT. I don't know. I don't feel like at any stage I've gotten closer to having any appetite. I've only so much gotten further away. My own thoughts, and again, I appreciate that people don't necessarily like that if they're big fans themselves. Or I think OTT, like I remember when Irish Whip was kind of like the original OTT, like kind of where we're doing well, we're doing tours, we're kind of doing bigger super shows, and we're kind of on national TV and stuff like that. And it was very cool for a time, even though it was very like wrestling standard wise, it was nothing compared to what we have today. Then there was just a time where it was just like, this is dated and it's out of date, and like we're doing shows and you could like, I remember like going to shows, I was like, this is not what it was, and I don't know what's missing, I don't know what it is, but it's just dated and there needs to be an evolution. And from that evolution, we ended up getting OTT, we ended up getting what we had kind of at the peak of Irish wrestling a couple of years back, like even with Fight Factory Phoenix and PWU and all those promotions doing different things nationwide and showing what the full force of Irish wrestling could be. But now I feel that with OTT in particular, and I think especially over the past year with a lot of revelations that have come out and how they've responded to them, which again, I've been vocal about my thoughts on that. I feel like, again, it seems dated, and I think, unless there's a major reset that Dom speaks of, it's going to come across very dated to people when they come back. No matter how much people might be missing it, I think they'll get back. And then when they're sitting watching the show, if there's nothing changing, consider that, like, there's still fucking stories. Now, there are only minor things, but there's still fucking stories being broken about talent there. There's wrestlers involved in it who, again, I know and I've met, and I may be setting up an awkward future conversation for myself, but it has to be said, there's people coming out and saying fans are fucking snowflakes and stuff like that. And it just, the impression I get, because we're not getting any kind of word or reaction or response to any of this, is that this is how OTT feels. And that's fucking, it's not okay to feel that way anymore. It's like someone doing racist wrestling stuff. It's just like, you can't do that. You can't say that anymore. Like, it's not okay. We're not going to accept this. We've got a higher standard now. I don't feel like they've answered any questions. So I feel that they need to. Again, that's my opinion. I'm not saying people have to share it or that you're wrong. If you're looking forward to seeing OTT come back, that's just me. Everyone else will feel very differently, but I've zero appetite for anything OTT related. And if it comes back and just is like acts like the way it was, where it's just OTT, OTT, and it's like, lads, we're back, which I feel like they are almost doing with like their social media stuff, where they're just constantly posting, we're going to be back, and then GIFs of the good old days. And it's like, yeah, but the good old days, we know, were built on a lot of bad things happening. So like, what, you're not mentioning them, which means that you're just getting nostalgic about what wasn't necessarily a great time for a lot of people, what was actually a damaging time for a lot of people. And that's just creating a disconnect that, for me, I just can't repair right now. So that's where I'm at. So in terms of doing behind closed door shows, no, I think they need to go away for as long as it takes to, until they can come back and be relevant again. Because right now they're not relevant to me. They don't think relevant thoughts. They don't match with my, what I want and the standard I expect from a company. And I've no appetite to see them as a result. So if they can come back and be relevant and kind of in a believable way, in not just, we're going to say all the right things until you let us make money again. If they can do it in an actual way where I believe it, that they've changed and evolved, then I'll have an appetite. Until then, no, I don't want to see anything from them. I don't even want to see tweets saying we'll be back. That pisses me off, because I'm like, tell us why I should care when you're back first. Tell me that first before you just say OTT, OTT, because I associate a lot of bad memories now with OTT. That alone is tainted to me. So that's where I'm at. Again, that's me. I'm different. Everyone has their own opinion, like I said. Moving on anyway to more lighthearted wrestling questions. Boyna Maniac gets on and says, the Golden Globe nominations are out this week. If pro wrestling was eligible for the awards, which wrestlers would you nominate for the following? Actor in a comedy or musical?
Actor. Do. What do you think?
So a comic or a musical actor?
MJF.
Oh, he's very good. Yes, he can do both. Yes.
Comedy and musical, because he's also released a musical vignette this year as well.
Yeah. Oh, Jericho's another good one.
I'm going to go with myself.
MJF, I think. Yeah. What's that?
I'm going to go with myself because I'm quite funny, even though it's unintentional half the time. And also, have you ever heard me sing Andy Steele's music?
Yes.
Yes, I actually have. Yeah.
Yes.
And there you go.
I was thinking, yeah, but Dom, we haven't heard you sing. And I'm like, oh, I've actually heard that quite a lot. Yeah. An actress in a comedy or musical?
Billy Kay.
Billy Kay, yeah.
Yeah, Billy Kay all day. Gillian could come back, though, like, if she does that one more run. She could compete for that. Actor in a dramatic sense?
The Big Edge. Dog.
I suppose, Edge. Yeah.
Yes. No, I think Edge has got it for now. Well, like, if we go off the past 12 months.
Yeah.
Because Edge has had 3 weeks of work.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, he's the best promo going at the moment.
If who's the favorite for this year's awards, the 2021 awards, Edge is leading the pack by a mile.
Yeah.
But if it's the past 12 months, I think Roman Reigns, do you know?
Or Jey Uso. He's been great as well.
Ooh. He has been very good. He's a good show. He's the best supporting actor, though.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Fair. Range is the leading. Yeah, an actress, so a dramatic actress.
Everyone drawing a blank here.
Becky. Like, yeah. Becky can do actual acting.
How
like,
long has she been gone?
Yeah, 6 months or so. So when you think of promos and stuff. But there, like, we've got the ball rolling. So Sasha?
Yeah.
She's Sasha's in The Mandalorian as well.
Oh, yeah.
She's an actual actress. Yeah, I'll go with Sasha.
Yeah, I could agree with Sasha.
Be happy. Good stuff. Good stuff. Okay, so final question. Very, very good question. Boy. We've been getting excited about this. So, with the current roster and champions, book the worst WrestleMania 37 possible. Me and Dom both got really excited about this. So, Katie, I'll go to you first. Kind of, what were your own thoughts? Have you got anything that kind of struck you?
No, used to both seem so excited by this, and I spent so long looking up conspiracy theories that I didn't do this question. So I am going to leave you to all of this.
This is teamwork. We automatically look at certain questions and we go, that's a Katie question.
That's on you, buddy. Grand.
Yeah. Fair. Dom, you want to take it away. I know you've been dying for this.
Okay. Wow. A lot of pressure. So let me just compose myself, get my notes up. Right. Okay. So I'd just like to say, first of all, like, I misread this question. I thought it said the best WrestleMania card. So, you know, this is a bit of a miscommunication, but it'll be fine. I've always been obsessed with the idea of, like, booking a show. Just the thought of it fascinates me, which is why I love, like, general manager mode on SmackDown versus Raw and games like EWR and stuff. So I like to think of myself as the Shakespeare of pro wrestling, just writing magic, okay? So WrestleMania 37, night one. So it opens with a Fozzy concert. The stadium is at maximum capacity, no masks, no social distancing, and it takes about half an hour, okay? And now the opener for the Intercontinental title. Daniel Bryan versus Big E versus Cesaro versus Shinsuke Nakamura in a ladder match. You know, nice hot start. There's a lot of fan favorites. People love a ladder match to start Mania.
Yeah. Awesome.
But then Vince McMahon appears in the Titantron. You know what? I'm sticking to the rules of the question. The rule said it has to be the current roster, but it said nothing about making trades. Vince McMahon announces that Daniel Bryan, Cesaro, Nakamura have all been released as of now in order to give an ironclad multi-million contract to this man, the big guy, Ryback. The Ryback comes out. The ladder match is made between Big E and Ryback for the title as the three released talent walks sadly to the back. The Ryback beats the fuck out of Big E as soon as the bell rings. He climbs the ladder and he wins in 23 seconds. New Intercontinental Champion. Match number two, Randy Orton versus the Fiend Bray Wyatt with Alexa Bliss. So the bell rings. Randy Orton locks up with Bray Wyatt. Snapmare puts him in a chin lock. Chin lock lasts about 20 minutes. He taps out. End of the match. Match number three. So it's the Raw Tag Team Title Open Challenge with the New Day. Whose music hits? That's right. Ryback comes out. He says, I don't need a partner. I'm the big guy. And then he meat hooks the boat him and wins the titles. So he's now the Intercontinental Champion and the Raw Tag Team Champions.
Solid money.
Then, match number four, Asuka versus Nia Jax for the Raw Women's title. It's a 20-minute match. Nia Jax destroys Asuka and she leaves in a stretcher and then the match gets a no contest. Next segment, 24/7 Champion, R-Truth is hanging out backstage with WWE Hall of Famers Ron Simmons and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, but suddenly he gets rolled up. By who, you ask? No, it's the Bad Bunny. But then Bad Bunny eats a meat hook clothesline and gets pinned by Ryback.
Of course.
Had you there, didn't I? There's a video package hyping up the winner of the Royal Rumble, Edge, going against Roman Reigns in tonight's main event for night one. Now match five, the match everyone wants to see. It's Bill Goldberg in a Hell in a Cell match against Humberto Carrillo. Humberto Carrillo wins after a 12 to 14 minute mat-based technical classic where neither leave the ring once. Now, match number six. It is an absolute blockbuster Hollywood match. It is Dwayne The Rock Johnson against Brock Lesnar in a SummerSlam 2002 rematch.
Nice.
Once both men are in the ring, Vince McMahon comes out and says, unfortunately, due to time constraints, we're going to have to cut three matches from tonight, including this one. So we're going straight to the main event. So the main event, it's the winner of the Royal Rumble, Edge, versus the head of the table, Roman Reigns. Okay, so big main event, right? The bell rings, then suddenly Ryback hits the ring and meat hook clotheslines the both of them, causing it no contest.
I hate it so much.
Comes out, he orders the match to restart as a triple threat with Ryback. Ryback lifts up both Roman Reigns and Edge on his shoulders, shell shocked, but suddenly he's going for the pin. One, two, someone pulls the ref out. No. Oh my God. It's Ryback's former tag team partner, Curtis Axel, who Vince McMahon conveniently forgot to mention that he also got signed alongside Ryback. Curtis Axel has been added to the match. Curtis Axel picks up Ryback, hits him with the Axe-hole neckbreaker, but then he eats a spear off Edge, who then eats a spear off Roman Reigns. But the ref is still down. The ref is still down. The ref is being woken up when Ryback comes in from behind and hits Roman Reigns a low blow, rolls him up, and wins the Universal title. That's night number one. Are you ready for night number two?
No.
Unfortunately, night number two gets cancelled due to safety concerns, and WWE end up going out of business, leading to Courage Wrestling to make a return and becoming the number one promotion in the world, hosting a super show to surpass WrestleMania, main evented by Retro Galactic versus the Young Bucks.
Yes. Amazing, amazing. It had everything, Dom. That's going to be tough to beat. I focused on this separately, okay? So I didn't focus on kind of the matches themselves or the order or anything. I focused on the build-up and how do we build the card for worst WrestleMania ever. So I'm going to start at Elimination Chamber and Drew McIntyre, the situation with the WWE Championship. So what happens is basically like Drew McIntyre defends the title in the Elimination Chamber and then has to face Sheamus last. So it comes down to him and Sheamus. They have a 20-minute epic war. They end up Drew ends up beating him, retaining. The feud is over, and Drew has been betrayed by a known friend, which is going to become a running theme in his life, because after the match, when the chamber's up, Sheamus grudgingly walks off defeated. Drew's in the ring alone celebrating when all of a sudden who attacks? Miz and Morrison end up attacking him with the briefcase. They're getting ready to cash in the briefcase, but when that happens, guess who makes the save? The one, the only blast from Drew's past. The one person who has never and would never betray him. Jinder Mahal. Ooh.
Yes.
Who immediately then turns on Drew and says he wants his belt back. As we all remember, oh yeah, he did. He did hold that once a few years ago and it was awful. So now we're going to WrestleMania. But with Jinder versus Drew McIntyre, battle of the three-minute band, a three-man band, back together. The problem is Drew's just depressed. Drew just becomes a shell of his former self. He's just like, how do you feel about WrestleMania, Drew? I don't really care, to be honest. He's just like, he's just depressed Scotsman, like, and we're just like, Drew's just going to lose this. Like, what's going to happen? Meanwhile, Jinder isn't even paying attention to Drew. He's like, I've broken him mentally. He's a broken man. I'm just going up to collect my belt at WrestleMania. And then meanwhile, it's just him and The Miz constantly going back and forth at each other, where like, by the time we get to WrestleMania, we know Drew's losing. And then it's announced the night before WrestleMania, it is announced that Drew McIntyre is leaving the company, following his hero Brock Lesnar and making a dramatic switch to the NFL, which he never watched as a child because they didn't have it in Scotland when he was a child. But he's always liked what Brock Lesnar done. He wants to be the next Brock Lesnar and he's going to leave the company and go out on top. So now we go into WrestleMania knowing that Jinder Mahal is going to win and he's going to feud with The Miz, and that's going to be the big feud that takes us through 2021. Meanwhile, also at Elimination Chamber, Roman Reigns sees off Kevin Owens again in a hellacious Hell in a Cell ladder match, Elimination Chamber. There cannot possibly be another match feud ender. Then on SmackDown, Reigns speaks about how he's beaten Owens up so much that nobody else on the roster can possibly step up. That's when it goes dark. And then all you hear is, bow, now, 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 now. All of a sudden, Shinsuke Nakamura's music hits. The crowd, don't say anything. There is no crowd. But the crowd on the Thunderdome look really excited in the meantime. And then the lights come back on. Shinsuke Nakamura is on one side. Cesaro's on the other side. We're going to get it. The payback for a few weeks ago, we're going to get it back. But then Cesaro picks up the mic and they say, hey, Roman, I know who can step up to your WrestleMania. They both look. Roman turns around. Kick. Stunner. Kevin Owens is back and he wants his title match. He wants it. Reigns versus Owens 47 at WrestleMania. Edge, you may have noticed, the Royal Rumble winner, has opted to face neither of the two men. Instead, he shows up a takeover, like he promised, to watch Balor versus Dunn. After they've had an absolute war and Balor retains the belt, Edge gets in the ring to confront him to say that at WrestleMania, he wants NXT gold around his waist. And what he's going to do is face a man that neither Balor or Dunn have ever beaten. He's going to face Walter. He wants to be the NXT UK champion. Edge, now the unfortunate part is, look, Walter actually can't actually be part of the feud because they can't travel. There's COVID restrictions and whatnot. Like, he is going to be at WrestleMania, but that's after 2 weeks of quarantine. So he's got to get there first, and he's involved in programs. So Edge has to pretty much carry the entire feud himself. The only problem is that he doesn't actually watch NXT UK, because not many people do, if we're being honest. So he doesn't know who Walter is, but he does want the UK championship. So in his promos that he's cutting, he actually starts doing an offensive British Dick Van Dyke style accent. And he was like, I hope I'm going to be Walter. And it, bro. And it's like, oh, he's from Austria. That's not a thing. And he's like, I'm going to be the British champion. And then, like, at WrestleMania, Walter comes out big dramatic. He's quarantined. He's COVID free. It's going to happen. Edge is going to do his big WrestleMania entrance. And then, like, of course, people have to do something special for WrestleMania. And then he comes out and it's like, consider yourself. Oh, mate, consider yourself. What are the family? And it's just like, right, this is... How do you ruin Edge's Royal Rumble win? How do you ruin the role he's been on? And it's just, you give him an offensive racist angle and then nobody wants to see. I don't even want to see Edge win the championship now. This is stupid. Why is the NXT UK championship on the line? Why is this what Edge wants to do in his life? But it's happening. Meanwhile, in the women's division, Asuka comes out and says to the entire roster, she makes a declaration that nobody is ready for Asuka. Then the entire Raw roster, the locker room just empties. They surround the ring. Shayna Baszler, Lacey Evans, Charlotte get in the ring and they say, nobody's ready for Asuka. Is that it? Is that it? Yeah, you're actually right. Good point. Fair enough. And then it's actually Asuka and Charlotte against Lana and Naomi for the women's tag team titles. So Raw belt isn't on the line. But of course, look, we've still got one match which is going to save everything. You cannot ruin Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair. That's the big match. It's such a banger match. The WWE decide to make it the second women's main event ever in WrestleMania history.
Ooh.
But what did they do with the first WrestleMania main event? Do you remember they had they had the perfect main event. It was Becky against Charlotte. This can't go wrong. And then they're like, no, there needs to be more. We can't just let two women. We need three women. So then they're like, I know what, I'll do it. And then Vince McMahon starts getting ideas and he's like, but if we have that, then we can have that. And if we can have that, is it Ronda Rousey's coming back? No, it's not. It's not. She's gone. She's done. Is it Becky Lynch is coming back? No, she's not. She's minding the baby. She's fine. And she's made all her money from wrestling. She's already done the whole main event thing. The third person in Sasha and Bianca is Carmella. And the match is a three-way Reginald on a pole match. Boom. Worst WrestleMania ever. I think I've got it. Dom, and Courage doesn't come back. Courage remains dead, making mine infinitely worse than Dom's. So I think I'm the winner.
Mine was bad. I had a disclaimer at the start saying I misread the question.
Fair. That's why it was so amazing. Guys, send us in your own bad WrestleMania ideas as well. That's a great question, though. Thank you very much for that. And that's
what
all
I see for night two of my WrestleMania.
Get ready, coming up next week, Dom may or may not have a night two, or just may book a fantasy courage card. Who knows?
Uncancel night two.
We will be back next week. Katie Harvey, thank you. Dom Tuck, thank you. Thank you for all your questions, guys. Back next week at the main show. But in the meantime, bye.
Did that show go longer than the main show?
I think so. Shit.